I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think they're still analyzing what we'll call objects numbers 2, 3, and 4. But what we're getting is a clear picture that one of these is not like the other. And so it goes back to, this may be as simple as an overreaction to an underreaction. So we know that the first object was a spy balloon. It was 200 feet high. It had a payload bay and a surveillance bay. We've been told the numbers 2, 3, and 4 have none of those things and are maybe as little as 1/10 of the size, not maneuverable, drifting with the wind. So, and even, Bill, the other thing is the excuses that we were told why number 1, the Chinese spy balloon, couldn't be shot down have now drifted away with numbers 2, 3, and 4. In other words, we were told, well, we can't shoot it down over Alaska. Well, the second object was.
That is former head of Department of Intel, John Ratcliffe. This is Feb 13, 2023. And I hate to correct John Ratcliffe, but he said the first balloon was 200 feet high. That was 60,000 feet high. He's doing a live interview. I understand how those numbers get messed up. The first one that crossed all the way across our U.S. was at 60,000 feet altitude. The most recent off Alaska, Canada, and then the one over Lake Huron. That's four in 8 days. They were around the 20,000-foot level. That's well within commercial traffic, where if you're on a plane, suddenly you're hitting one of these things. And by the way, the one over Lake Huron, it was different than some of the others. They are describing it as octagon-shaped. Well, we have a lot of questions. What kind of answers are we getting? Various congressmen are voicing their concerns, and I'm sure they replicate yours.
I have real concerns about why the administration is not being more forthcoming with everything that it knows.
The Biden administration needs to stop briefing Congress through our television sets and actually come and sit down and brief us.
The military needs to have a plan to not only determine what's out there, but determine the dangers that go with it.
I believe the American people are owed an explanation. If they're serious enough for us to send fighter jets out to shoot down, then I think it's okay for the American people to know who's behind this.
And of course, the first one we know was China. Now, China denied it was even their balloon and then later said, well, it's just one of our civilian weather balloons. There is no civilian balloon from China. Everything is government controlled. And that one we know had maneuverability capabilities. The most recent, they didn't seem to have the same. So to that extent, John Ratcliffe, former head of the Department of National Intelligence, is right. They are different. One's different than the other, but we still don't have a lot of answers. Now, Texas Congressman McCall is the chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He gets those special briefings that other members of Congress do not necessarily get. And he had a view of looking at the sites that the balloons were passing over.
It was very clear to me this was an intentional act. It was done with provocation to gather intelligence data and collect intelligence on our three major nuclear sites in this country. Why? Because they're looking at what is our capability in the event of a possible future conflict in Taiwan. They're really assessing what we have in this country. I find it extraordinary the timing of this flight as well, mm-hmm. Right before the State of the Union speech, and also right before Secretary Blinken was scheduled to meet with Chairman Xi. I think it was very much an act of belligerence on their part.
Again, that's Texas Congressman McCall, chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, talking about the first balloon that went all the way across our states. Maria Bartiromo also had on her program a Pennsylvania Congressmember, Don Misser, and talking about a question that she had as to what coordination were you guys getting yourselves?
Do you have any information that you can share with us in terms of what the heck is going on right now?
Well, it's clearly very concerning, and yeah, we received some briefings, some classified, some not. One of the biggest problems is that we got a serious breakdown in our chain of command, Maria. I think we've seen this in many international and domestic issues, incidences over the course of the last 2 years. They just can't get answers. I think there's delays. I think there's uncertainty. And yeah, in our classified, obviously I can't share that. But even in general public, they can't even get their story straight. I mean, from the State Department to the DOD.
Yeah, that's the concern. If he's seeing that, the stories are not matching up from the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, do they really not know? Are they that clueless? China knows the answer. China knows the answer, and you don't. That should scare the hell out of you. Now, you heard earlier that maybe, according to Congressman McCall, maybe this whole idea is that they're looking at this because it's a get an idea of capability before China makes a move on Taiwan. Gordon G. Chain, we often have on program with us, a China expert, he's expressed the same thing. This is going to happen and going to escalate ahead of China going into Taiwan. So the boxes that are hanging from the balloons, Congressman McCall could tell us a little bit about what those boxes are and what they're doing.
These spy balloons have great capability to gather and collect intelligence. The imagery that they can capture and other intelligence data that I can't be specific about can be captured and then transmitted back to the mothership in Beijing. They have control over these balloons. You know, this was an act of espionage in plain sight, plain view of the American people.
Plain sight of the American people. And our administration miscommunicating, uncertain, leaving you in the dark. All right, coming up in today's program, the FBI apparently backing down from calling Catholics radical. Are they really or just hiding? And the Super Bowl game, hey, how great was that? Not just the game, but the TV ads. How about the one that had you jumping up and down shouting, where's my Super Bowl game? And then there's the other TV ad, the one being condemned by the leftists. The one they did not like. And I told you Friday, they're not going to like this ad. And sure enough, we're going to hear from some of the complaints. The one titled, Jesus Gets Us. All of that and more still to come in today's Larry Connors USA Report. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Just take those old records on the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This month marks the official launch of one of the largest and probably one of the most ineffective religious ad campaigns in American history. A group of Christians plans to spend over $1 million to shove Jesus in as many faces as humanly possible. They're going to use that money to pay for TV commercials, billboards, and online ads that tell you one message about Jesus. He gets us. The idea is that Jesus is just like you. He understands you. He's gone through rough times. He's been there. Now worship him, or else you'll burn in hell for all eternity. They don't say that part out loud. Oh wait, I'm sorry. You know what? Did I say this was a $1 million campaign and you thought, wait, no, that's an insane amount of money for something like this? Well, I'm kidding. It's a $100 million campaign. These are Dr. Evil numbers. And it's funded by anonymous donors who just happen to have that kind of money lying around. Nothing shady about that at all.
So you got anonymous donors giving to the commercials that ran during the Super Bowl, Jesus Gets Me? And he says there's nothing shady about that at all. What does that mean, nothing shady about it? They're anonymous, or whether they want to identify or not. How many give money to George Soros and his campaigns and his PACs to destroy cities from inside when it comes to crime and prosecution who are anonymous? And how many we know give money and they just kind of let it go because that's a way of doing business? You were listening then to a YouTube host. I'm not going to bother giving you his name. You could look it up in the sense if you just look at the Jesus commentary or rather YouTube commentary on the Jesus Saves spots. He's referring to what I'm sure most of you, if you're watching the Super Bowl, saw. And we told you Friday that that was going to happen. And there are billboards up already in various places prior to the Super Bowl game. There were, and the Christian group that he's talking about did spend $20 million on two of those Super Bowl advertisements. That's according to Fox News, showing that, quote, this is again according to Fox News, quote, showed Jesus as someone with empathy for immigrants and the poor, who was also a friend of the division of politics, or it said that who was also tired of the division of politics. Congresswoman AOC quick to jump into the fray as well. She blasted the Christian advertising. She didn't like what she saw. She said, something tells me Jesus would not spend millions of dollars on Super Bowl ads to make fascism look benign. Christians are now fascist. The FBI the other day sent out a memo indicating it was going to be investigating the Catholics, a memo that labeled traditional Catholics as violent white supremacists. They've since retracted that. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later in the 6 o'clock hour, so you don't want to miss the 6 o'clock hour today when we get into that in a little bit more detail. But what we have in this case is this YouTuber and AOC and others that were all in line with it that all believe the way he presented it, that you're wrong to spend that kind of money on a Jesus Gets Us campaign. Is it wrong for a billionaire like George Soros to donate $140 million into politically charged groups as he did for the 2022 midterm elections? No, it's his money. Do what he wants with it, right? Is it wrong for him and other billionaires to end up spending $880 million on various political campaigns when it's all totaled together? Again, it's the individuals. And do we know all their names? No, we don't. Some are anonymous. But here's an occasion where this YouTuber thought this is a perfect example, a perfect opportunity, I should say, to jump on Christians and demean them, bash them. Now, if Muslims, Islam, if they had decided to buy ads like that and put ads on promoting their religion, or if Catholics had, or Latter-day Saints, they might go after some of those, but they probably would say nothing about the Muslim religion. And unless they're inciting something or causing some ill will other than you just don't like it, then they'd be entitled to have their ads if they want to spend it that way. But what this YouTube host is trying to do is get you to understand that they were selling Jesus just like you would sell milk.
It's actually a little hard to criticize the ads themselves. I mean, we will, but stay with me here. Because they're not promoting a particular church or denomination. It's quite simply a campaign that's meant to sell the idea of Jesus in the hopes that viewers will eventually want to connect with a church or at least the faith in general. But, you know, even if they don't, at least they'll be saved. It's kind of like ad campaigns for milk. If they work, all the milk companies benefit. And if they don't, well, at least you'll be healthier.
I'll have to tell you what he's doing is YouTube presentation talking about, well, at least you'll be saved. He did it that way with quotes, air quotes. No, that's what the Bible says in reference to Jesus. You don't have to believe the New Testament nor the Old. You don't have to accept any religion. But what gets me is that they're always going to harp on and attack Christians and Catholics and Jews. Are there some Christian leaders that have made enormous amounts of money off their flock and basically selling snake oil? Yes. This campaign, if you actually saw the spots, there were two different ones. One showed loving and caring, helping people. And I got to tell you, I felt the most... I haven't seen the Super Bowl ratings as far as ad campaigns go. Just haven't had time to deal with it. But I thought this one particular one they ran was most impressive. And it, if it, I think it ends with, or at least it's near the end, of two little boys, maybe 4 to 5 years old, running toward each other like they haven't seen each other for years, or maybe they hadn't. But one is black and one is white, and they just run and hold and hug each other. They're so happy just to see each other again. I'm sure there was no thought, he's black, I'm white, or I'm white, he's black. These were just two kids. Kids have to be taught racism. This was footage from a long time ago that they found a case. This would work great with what we're doing. And saying, Jesus gets us. I thought that was a very warm moment. I did. Maybe you didn't. But it was showing we come together. And then they did run a second ad showing people battling and so forth, yelling back at each other, maybe assaulting, and it involved white on white, black on black, black on white, white on black. It went, it had in Asia, it had it all mixed in. You could just see the fierceness of the people yelling. It's all still pictures. You weren't hearing them actually saying that, but you could tell the anger that was there. And the tagline, if I recall right, said at the end, Jesus loves those that we hate. Jesus gets us. I don't have as much mercy and compassion that I probably should have towards some people over some things they do. That's why there is God, because I don't have that. Now, you may call him God or Allah. Christians say Jesus, and Catholics say Jesus, and there's a difference there between the religions, if you weren't aware of it. Catholics always have Jesus still on the cross. You see a crucifix, they're going to see Jesus' figure on the cross. Christians present the cross without Jesus on it, talking about the rebirth, that he's no longer on the cross, and neither will you be. Not trying to get overly theological here, but just showing some differences even between those two fundamental elections. And then you get in between divisions of Christianity, a Baptist, Episcopal, Lutheran, Presbyterian. They all have their differences. As one pastor told me, it's really just the same gift inside, wrapped with different color bows and paper, but the same gift is inside, if you'll just accept the gift. But I can't, I find it amazing how much some people just want to continue to bash and go after it. And back to our YouTube host and talking about how this campaign all came about.
Christianity Today explains that this campaign comes from the Servant Christian Foundation, a nonprofit backed by a Christian donor-advised fund called the Signatory. Last year, the Servant Christian Foundation approached Bill McKendry, founder and chief creative officer at Haven, concerned that too many young Americans are leaving Christianity and that more people were growing hostile toward faith. Their idea? A national media blitz for Jesus at a scale that no single church could afford. So, to summarize, some Christian nonprofit group that takes money from a giant Christian pool of money asked a Christian media guy what they could do about Christianity's image. And instead of saying, let's feed the poor, or help veterans, or build hospitals where all services are free of charge...
And you could say that about any liberal organization, the Clinton Foundation Fund that was raking in money for the Clintons. You could say about George Soros and the word coming out today that the European Union is handing him $3.5 million. That's not a lot compared to the 20 and what all he's got for his Open Society Foundation, which is basically to present awareness on rights and values, civil organizations, basically to make us all one, more Marxist. But I don't hear him bringing those points out and talking about other such organizations that are using money that maybe it could be spent in a better way. And actually, individual churches and religions do the same things he's talking about. They are out there helping on a daily basis, constantly, building hospitals, paying for children's health, things of that nature. But it's so easy to bash the Christians. Why don't you just jump on the bandwagon and go with it? I won't. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023. But Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. There is a great story about how John Beal Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beal family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beal. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we told you the other day about a leaked FBI report showing the FBI Bureau in Richmond, Virginia, was investigating the threat of white supremacy among Catholics who prefer Latin Mass. Well, since then, the FBI said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We don't open an investigation based solely on First Amendment protected activity. That's the quote from the FBI. Well, for the Federalist, contributor Avita Duffy said the FBI retracts the memo labeling traditional Catholics violent white supremacists. But then again, she said, I doubt it. She says traditional Catholics are not white supremacists. And even if they were, racist viewpoints are protected under the First Amendment. The FBI wants Americans to believe this was an honest mistake. In reality, she said, it's extremely on brand with the corruption and political targeting that's become commonplace inside the FBI. Now, Matt Lamb, also contributing to the Federalist, wrote it from a different viewpoint. He is Catholic. And he said, although the FBI headquarters has now tried to distance itself from that leaked memo, it does not remove the attitude within the Richmond field office that Catholics who like the Latin Mass or hold conservative views are threats. He said, I know some reasons that might have prompted that. That's because a common interest in Latin Mass parishes and traditional Catholics is homeschooling. That's right. You homeschooler, you might be a terrorist. He also said, meeting every Sunday with other people who want good lives. He said the FBI, U.S. Department of Defense, others all gone woke, embracing critical race theory, LGBT sexual ideology. So no wonder if you're a traditionalist, you must be a terrorist. And he adds to that, valuing life, marriage, and the sexes. He said it's well established that the federal government entities have it out for pro-life, biblical marriage, anti-gender ideology individuals and groups. Yeah, that's been documented over and over again. So here they are now saying, that was that leaked memo you got hold of, that was a mistake. We're not going to be investigating Catholics of any type. Do you look at what they say and hear that, or do you hear that and then you watch what they do? Why did all this start? Well, it apparently is relying on an Atlantic article about rosary prayer beads being a weapon. That was how it was pushed by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And yet, at the same time, it ignored major investigations of any type of the FBI into Black Lives Matter and Antifa, two groups torching American cities in the summer of 2020. At least 18 deaths, $1 billion in property damage. No terrorists to be seen here. In other words, the FBI report demonizing devout Catholics is not based on any threat pictures, but on raw politics. This time, the target traditional Catholics. The next target could be you and your religion. But the FBI insists, no, we're not doing that. Do you know what an NFT is? Now, I have fun with it. I always like to call it a non-fundable currency or transaction. It's actually NFT is non-fungible, fungible. See, the idea behind fungible is something you can exchange for something else, like you can take a dollar bill and exchange for another dollar bill, or commodities, options, things of that nature. These NFT tokens, the same ones that Trump was pushing, well, they are unique. They can't really be exchanged with something else. They can't be traded or exchanged. You could buy or sell, but you can't really replace it. Well, to that extent, evidence coming up that shows more and more of the Hollywood set and big names are getting behind NFTs. Why? Well, because there's money to be made. Let me give you a perfect example that just happened. I don't know that you'll be surprised by this next story, but I think it's worth focusing on briefly. It comes from CNN Business. Paris Hilton was appearing on Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show. And this is the way CNN writes it. She's wearing a sparkling neon green turtleneck dress and a high ponytail. She looked at a picture of a glum carbon ape and said, it reminds me of me. A glum and cartoon ape. I said carbon, glum cartoon ape. The audience laughed. It did not look like her at all. And why did she say that? They were chatting around the NFTs. You know what those are? Non-fungible tokens. Typically digital art bought with cryptocurrency, in this case from the Bored Ape Yacht Club. The camera zoomed in on the framed printouts of the ape cartoons. And Filton told Hilton, "We're both apes." And she replied, "I love it." That Tonight Show instance at that point, pushing these NFTs, should not surprise you that there's money to be made in the NFTs. Not necessarily by buying the NFT. And in fact, I'll remind you that Trump had said he was going to come out with a big, big deal. This was in advance of him announcing he was going to run. And he was saying, now you can buy Trump NFTs. Come on. Some were calling him, are you shilling for NFTs, these non-fundable tokens? Yes, he was. And there were folks that buy it. But a software engineer and a fellow at the Harvard Library Innovation Lab, talking about the Bored Ape, computer-generated collection of 10,000 cartoons being presented as a status symbol. She said that was a very significant moment on the Tonight Show because the audience for that show is very different from the typical crypto person. What they then began to point out, which should be no surprise, that these big celebrities like Paris Hilton, Snoop Dogg, Gwyneth Paltrow, and others are making hundreds of thousands of dollars just by promoting it. So see, there is money to be made if you're one of those pushing it. In a way, this is almost like the old pyramid scheme. You know that one. I mean, hey, I got a gimmick for you. I got a great deal for you. We will get you $10,000 in a matter of time, and we'll move you up the list. And then you're going to be getting $100,000. Pretty soon you'll be getting $1 million. We keep your name on the list. You give me $1,000, $10,000 start, and then we start jumping from there. Sound too good to be true? You know the saying. I don't have to tell you. You know the saying. If it sounds too good to be true, it... You're already ahead of me, aren't you? Yep. And in this case, that does apply.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we were talking earlier about the commercials running through the Super Bowl. Normally folks gather around. They don't leave. They want to see the Super Bowl commercial as much as a game in some cases. And I was in a place where there are a lot of people watching. All right, I'll be honest with you. I was in a poker room. They got TVs on there. Quentin's over there nodding, said, "I know where you were." Yeah, that's right. That's what I was doing. And we're all watching the Super Bowl, and up comes, like you hit a channel selector, like you're trying to find a channel, and it's searching across, and I'm thinking, who in here has control of the TV control? What are they doing? And all of a sudden it hits Tubi, and it takes us to Tubi app. And all the programs on Tubi, and everybody in there is yelling and shouting, and I'm among them. And I think, whoa, wait a minute. I think we just got bluffed in a poker room, and we were. That was probably one of the smarter ads I've ever seen. You're watching the Super Bowl, you're excited about it, and all of a sudden it comes up with this thing that's interface interruption and looking for a thing, and it picks Tubi. Like somebody's controlling your own TV remote, and it switches to Tubi. What's the game? Where's the game? Did you have that reaction? A lot of people did. And then I started to, hey, guys, come down. I think it's all part of a gimmick. And a couple, no, it's not. Where the hell? Where's the game? I thought there was going to be a few fist flying before it was over with at personnel in the casino. They weren't responsible for it. No, you got to give them credit when they do something like that. It was the old hoax. And a lot of people got caught. Hook, line, and sinker, as they say. As always, I appreciate you listening, watching us on YouTube. Please subscribe on Rumble. Please subscribe. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.